You're listening to FMGRadio.com. Welcome to The Happiness Choice, a show that shares with you the secrets to how you can find more happiness each day, with your host, Marilyn Tam.
Hello and welcome. This is Marilyn Tam, your host to The Happiness Choice. Today we bring back Barbara Marks Hubbard, who last week told us so much about conscious evolution, and she has been called the voice for conscious evolution of our time by Deepak Chopra, and she is also the subject of Neil Donald Walsh's book, The Mother of Invention. Barbara is also an author, visionary, social innovator, educator, and co-founder and chairperson of the Foundation for Conscious Evolution. She is the producer and narrator of the award-winning documentary series, Humanity Ascending, A New Way Through Together. Her recent book, Birth 2012, shows how there's a new way for us human beings to think, act, and plan. Today, we're going to talk to Barbara about how she can explain about the community and how that is the biggest unmet need today in today's world. And also, what does this Birth 2012 mean for us? Because now we're 1 year into the new birth. So let's help me welcome Barbara Marks Hubbard. Hello, Barbara.
Hi there, Marilyn. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm excited to talk to you about what this Birth 2012 means to us since it's been 1 year into the new era. And also, how is that going to make us happy? And how can we align ourselves to be happier every day? Because that seems to be the biggest challenge that people all over the world have, and especially in the developed world.
Well, I think that Birth 2012, you know, from the prophetic Mayan point of view, was accurately saying something is ending. And there are different reasons for it in the prophetic realm, but they're also, it's true in the environmental and social realm. What's ending is a certain form of consciousness and a certain form of growth. If we are in self-centered consciousness, continuing to overpopulate, pollute, and destroy our environment, we will not survive. Mm-hmm. So something is ending is a whole stage of human growth, which used to be just, you know, produce, have as many babies as possible, and win the wars. Mm. That's what humanity did for about 5,000 years. And we created all these top-down pyramid-like structures with, you know, the power at the top and all the way down to the bottom. Well, it looks like that type of top-down structure and the old code of get out there, reproduce, and win over others will destroy our planet. So what's really new about Birth 2012 is that a new era of humanity is being born. And we could call it a new planetary culture, a planetary culture of co-creativity, of sustainability, of innovations, of spiritual resonance with each other, with nature, with one another, that a new kind of human is emerging that really expresses what's needed for survival and growth now. So the people who are insisting on domination and control and reactivity and fighting can destroy our world, or they will eventually be, you know, quieted down and transformed one way or the other. And, you know, I read this very interesting figure that there are billions upon billions of species that came before us are extinct now. And there are a few hundred million existing. And nature extincts species all the time. That's what nature does. Constantly selecting for what cooperates best. Mm-hmm. So the key here is how do we, as individuals, as families, as a culture, and certainly as a world, learn to overcome this illusion of separateness from each other, from nature, from spirit. That's really the key.
So how does that apply to an average person who's just trying to get to work on time, trying to get the groceries and laundry done, and all these mm-hmm. things? How do they manage all that big, wonderful concepts to their lives and to get to maintain some kind of level of happiness?
Well, I think there are many things that actually can induce a state of happiness in an extremely, I would say, simple life. Mm. With one's family, if you are able to have enough food to eat, and if you are free enough to be able to express yourself, right there is a tremendous basis of human happiness. Mm-hmm. And I think that we could say that if you go up Maslow's hierarchy towards the people who are not in extreme deficiency. Now, if we're speaking of people who are in concentration camps, who are starving, who are in war zones, who are deeply unattended physically, that is extremely hard as to how to be happy, even though there are some great souls that can. And I think that the happiness of those people who are not in extreme deprivation, part of our happiness is how to help, how to care for, how to everybody to do their part so that the whole of humanity can be able to express their own gifts for the good. That's what I think the goal is. And the average person, I think we should get rid of that word. I don't know that there is an average person. You actually have one of the meanings for conscious evolution, in my understanding, is evolution by choice, not chance. I mean, you don't have to, you have choice all the way through as to how you live your life. You really do. And a lot of people are saying now that the most important thing is not even getting, you know, all the way up in the educational system and going to the best colleges to try to get the best job, to try to have the best life, but rather early on to find out what you love to do and find those that you can do it with and start becoming entrepreneurial early on. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I would recommend for anybody, whatever age you are. Like, I'm 84 now, mm-hmm. and I'm an entrepreneur. That is to say, I'm a teacher, and I have to be able to serve in order to survive. Mm-hmm. So I think people have to learn to be social entrepreneurs, create small core groups of what excites them, and connect with others that share your passion to create.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that people, to be happy, need to think outside of themselves. Because most people listening to the show are not going to be in a situation like you mentioned. They're not in concentration camp. I don't think that's where we're going to get the show. And they probably have more or less enough to eat, and they have shelter. So those basic things you mentioned are met. So the next thing, as you say, is to learn how to give, to share, to connect, and to know what it is that we're here for. We're going back to what we said before, which is we need to know life purpose, which is what I talk about in my book, The Happiness Choice, too. How to find your life purpose so that you are aligned with why you're here, why you were born.
What's your simplest understanding of how you find your life purpose, Marilyn?
What we talked about in the last show, when we get into a meditative state, when we align back with our souls and say, what is my purpose? What is my urging? As you, I think you call it the
soul's purpose.
Exactly, the mm-hmm. calling that you have, the reason why you were put on this earth at this time. We all have one, and you shared last week about yours and how it's very global, but it's also so much uniquely for you, but also for the world. And like mine, which is, of course, just to make a positive difference in the world. Each person has a purpose, and it may come out different, but we all have a purpose that we can align with. And I think in that first place of aligning with our life purpose, we can move forward to sharing, because then we know how to share, because we know what will serve us as well as others.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Maslow studied people who were well and happy and fruitful, he found one trace in common, self-rewarding work, mm-hmm. that people found when you do it, you're happy. Mm-hmm. That is such a wonderful thing about human nature. And that can be being a mother, being a farmer, being a cook, a gardener, or a futurist, or any other thing. But the key to happiness is self-rewarding work that when you do it is of service.
Absolutely.
So the real key is kind of tuning in as you, wherever you are in life, whether you're a younger person, you're middle-aged, or you're like me, so many older people, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 and counting, lots are going to be much older, mm-hmm. is that you have to keep tuning in to what's emerging in you, or you get tired, you get bored, you get sick.
Mm-hmm. And that's so important to know what our purpose is.
It is.
Align and give back. And you mentioned a lot about community and how the community is changing and how we look at community and how we have to connect to community now. How is that going to make people happy?
Well, I think one of the great challenges of modern Western culture especially is that we lost the extended family. Like I have 8 grandchildren, and I love them dearly, but they're all over the country and Canada. So it's a big trip to go to Nashville, Tennessee, or Chicago, or Washington, D.C., or British Columbia to see one of them, mm-hmm. or they to come to see me. So because we don't have extended family, unless you are fortunate enough to live near your family or belong to some good church or organization or temple or mosque, then that gives you community. But if you don't belong to some religious organization or have family nearby, you can get very lonely. Loneliness is one of the things that makes you most distressed in the world. Mm-hmm. And in order to overcome that, I mean, I even feel it myself. I have a partner who just died, and I realized I'm alone. Mm. Now, it's not that I don't have friends and that I have family around the country, but I'm actually living alone. And so then I have to say, what kind of situation is this? So I'm using it as an evolutionary driver to say, how would I really choose to live at 84? See, there's not a lot of guidelines here because I don't feel, I'm not sick. I'm not ready to go into, you know, some sort of facility. So then I'm noticing that I have some very deep work to do. And it has to do with certain spiritual writings I've done, certain journal writings. And I'm saying, oh, you've been given this time because you have a deeper work to do. And then I began to feel happy mm-hmm. about the very thing that I felt so sad about. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I really like being alone, but I've seen that it is of a deeper purpose. And that I've been given this space and time to do things that I would not do if I was living with a lot of people moving around all the time. So that's what I found, even in terrible things like the death of a child or, you know, a real illness, is that you look right in it, there's something to be learned, and if you can find it and say yes, like in my case, aging and being alone, mm-hmm. you start to wake up to new possibilities.
Mm-hmm. And that's so important that we can look and experience, and the same experience can be either a very sad one or something, as you mentioned, you know, your partner passed away and you're feeling alone, yet now you've taken the same sad situation for somebody else and said, here's an opportunity for me to do something more because it's not my time yet. I mean, you're one of the most vibrant and high energy people I know. So whether you're 84 or 24, it's amazing. So I just want our listeners to know that we have an option. That's why the book I wrote is called The Happiness Choice, because you have a choice to be happy based on how you want to look at the situation and how you react and how you respond and how you proactively look at whatever happens to you. It's just another situation that you can deal with based on your own perspective.
Exactly. That's right. And also, I think there's a good inner biofeedback mechanism, which I call the compass of joy. Mm. And the compass of joy, if you're tuning in to that part of yourself that can give you guidance of your next step, it doesn't have to be the fulfillment of your whole life, but what you see to be your next step and you take it, then if it's causing more stress, it's probably not the right way. Hmm. Then you say, like, I've just been working on a very important course for me called The Sacred Journey of the Conscious Evolutionary. And at first I was really stressed because I couldn't quite figure out how to do it. So then you have to say, give up, I'm not going to do it. Or you have to have an attitude of saying, let's see what more wants to happen here and relax. Be with somebody that gives you joy. And I happened to have been spending time with my sister, Patricia Ellsberg, and I was telling her about this, and she became very excited and very interested. And out of my conversation with her, I picked up a completely more dynamic view of what I was doing. And I feel very good about it. So here's another clue. Is your inner guidance, your joy or stress, yes or no, and then being with people who are excited about what you are and what you're doing and who you are and that you are excited about them. Mm-hmm. And that can make you happy no matter what's going on.
That's such a great suggestion, because when we find people who are of like-minded and who can also give us some aspect of ourselves that we may not be fully developed yet, they can help and support us in the growth. There's so much more we can talk about, and I can't believe the time's all gone already. So, Barbara, give us your website so that people can look up your work and do more connection with you through your website.
Evolve.org.
Yes, so thank you again. This is Barbara Marks Hubbard. It's been wonderful to share with you, and this is Marilyn Tam, your host to The Happiness Choice.
You've been listening to The Happiness Choice Show with host Marilyn Tam. For show info, schedule, and guest bio, be sure to visit www.fmgradio.com/Marilyn Tam. That's MARILYN TAM.